just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
The magic of summer is here again, and its sweetness fills the air. The golden living sunshine penetrates everywhere. The trees in their party dresses raise coffered heads to the sky, while the wind in flirtatious manner seducesly passes by. The air is thick with the fullness of summer's laziness. The drowsy drone of voices break into the silentness. The persistent call of the birdling as it waits for its mother's care. The distant bark of a dog re-echoing everywhere. It seems that Mother Nature, when the vigor of spring is spent, leans back in the comfort of summer to rest with pleasant content. You like that poem? My mother wrote that many years ago when she was a young mother. Of course, we know that God is in charge of nature and in charge of everything, but she wrote Mother Nature. That was probably before she knew the scriptures as well, but I love that poem. Let's talk now about Sarah. I call this the untoward advice from the woman who should have known better. Remember beautiful Sarah in the Old Testament? From all that we can gather, she satisfied Abraham in every way. We don't read about any other wife of Abraham until after Sarah died. Then he had wives and concubines. Sarah had no children. This made her nervous, upset, distraught. No heir for her husband. Why? After all those years of faithfulness in the marriage bed and no child, it seemed that Abraham was resigned to that fact. And his trusted servant, Eliezer, we read about this in Genesis 15, would receive the inheritance when the patriarch died. The Bible tells us that a son was promised to Sarah's husband by God. That son would be the beginning of a mighty future heritage. Now we read in Genesis 16, and Sarah, she was called Sarai then, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. He was called Abram then, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Oh my, oh my. After all those years of barrenness, Sarah thought it impossible for her to mother a child herself. So one day, Sarah looked at her slave child in a new way and noticed what a mature woman she had become. After all, it had been 10 years since Hagar had been under Sarah's care. How many days or months the devious plan worked in Sarah's mind, we do not know. But we do know that she persuaded her husband to be with Hagar in a sexual way in order to conceive a child. In both of their minds, Sarah and Abraham's, they must have justified this sin for the good that would come of it. That's what they thought. They said to themselves, certainly that child would be the promised heir. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrongs don't make rights. It is true that often God takes our wrongs and uses them in spite of us, but that doesn't mean the wrongs was right. The wrongs were right in the first place. Sometimes Christians, yes, even born-again believers, are caught up in something very wrong, even sin. Sometimes the Christian woman desires the wrong so strongly that she persuades herself that it really isn't sin, but it is. God's darkest threatenings are always accompanied with the revelation of the way of escape. The ark is always along with the flood. Zoar is pointed out when God foretells Sodom's ruin. The brazen serpent is ever reared where the venomous snake bites and burns. That's by Alexander McLaren. Satan is a prime deceiver. You've probably noticed this, and especially in sexual matters. He seeks those whom he wishes to devour, and oh, how he devours. It behooves Christian women to be aware of the roaring lion stalking our lives. We read about him in 1 Peter 5. This roaring lion tries to catch us up in a sinful liaison. The evil one wants to destroy our testimonies. No doubt the slave girl was purchased when Mr. Mr. and Mrs. Abraham were in Egypt, a place many feel they should never have been. Hagar was no doubt a little girl when she first served Mistress Sarah. I don't know how old she was. I'll make a guess. Perhaps 6 or 7. What do you think? I believe that Sarah trained Hagar to be a lady from the moment she brought her out of Egypt. Hagar learned to work hard and do all manner of womanly and household duties. Many teach that Egypt is a type of the world. Usually we bring bad baggage from the world into the borders of our lives. Remember, we're talking about that scripture verse about the lines that are drawn out to us. Remember Psalm 16:6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That's what these devotionals are all about. Look it up, Psalm 16:6. So we bring a lot of baggage into the border of our lives. What baggage have we brought into our lives that should have been left on the other side of our fences? Remember, those lines are the demarcations, the fences, the borders of our lives. Remember, the pleasant places is what we have. That's our life. That's pleasant places. That's it. And I've encouraged you to look at it. Not moan the fact of your circumstances, but say, this is of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And raise it up and look at it and say, yes, God, this is my pleasant place within the borders of my lives. For sure, it turned out Hagar was some of the bad baggage in Sarah's tent in life. And it spilled into her marriage bed. We wives and mothers should be careful whom we let into our homes. Often husbands are not as discerning as their wives as to the wiles of other women. Often lonely, silly women are taken in by charming, flirting men who are often unsatisfied or unappreciated at home. In fact, this account of Abraham and Hagar is a good warning for all of us women, married or single. My husband always says, learn to discern. And some of us have to learn the hard way to discern. Hagar knew all about Sarah. She knew very personal things about her, for I believe she was close to her mistress and very precious to her mistress' heart. Having had no children of her own, Sarah may have doted on the child. She probably taught the maturing Egyptian woman many womanly skills. We were in the actual land of Egypt a few years ago and observed the absolutely beautiful women in Cairo Hotel, there where we stayed. Hagar may have been like one of the lovely women we observed there, breathtakingly beautiful. After the little girl grew into a beautiful, blossoming teenager, Sarah willingly offered her maid to her husband. The thinking was that Hagar could bear the child, that Sarah could not. Foolish, foolish Sarah. More foolish Abraham. He who talked face to face with God would succumb to his barren wife's ugly, ungodly plan. Oh, it seemed like an unselfish thing to do on Sarah's part. Everyone was doing it, but did that make it right? Wasn't it the custom of the land to give a legal wife's handmaiden to the wife's husband and then make the child of that union a child in the name of the legal wife? The plan was simple, but it was simply wrong. It was not a plan of faith, it was a plan of flesh. Now Abraham would have a son, the wrong son, from the wrong woman. At what a price! Looking within the borders of our lives, we find wrong plans, wrong friendships, wrong ideas. Sometimes we came up with our own outlandish plans to solve our problems. All those selfish, worldly actions do, all they do is compound our heartaches, after which we must live in the wake of our foolishness. Sometimes we, too, have children born to us out of wedlock, or become swamped in credit debt cards, or reap the scorn of those we have offended. Sarah learned the hard way. How insidious the devil can be. What looked so good was very evil. Just as Eve in the garden looked at the beautiful fruit, Eve was deceived. Sarah believed an evil plan. She became a party, an encourager to a sexual union which repercussions have plagued the world until this very day. It is still the division between the Arabs and Israel. Instead of bringing harmony into the home, the boy Ishmael brought conflict and jealousy. Read about it in Genesis 21. You see, Sarah gave the wrong advice, and Abraham did the wrong thing by listening. There are times when a husband must discern the good from the evil and have the courage to say so, and the wife should accept such discernment even though she does not understand or agree. Maybe you have a Hagar in your marriage. Maybe she is still there. Maybe you know it's wrong. Because of her, you have been through great trials with your husband. It has blighted your family, but you have permitted the situation, which may even be adultery, to continue. You have let Satan blind your husband's eyes, and you have looked the other way. Like Sarah of old, you must cast out the bondwoman. That is what Sarah finally had to do. Only then was there peace and unity in the marriage once again. Maybe your marriage was saved, or maybe your marriage wasn't saved. But, dear heart, that bad experience is a part of your life, whether you like it or not. Look at it. It is included within the fences, the lines of your life. Remember, I'm asking you to call this part of you your pleasant places. Believe me, when you accept the evil as well as the good in your life as your life, you will have peace you never expected. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. Let me say it again. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears.
Listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collinswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Is a symphony. Yes, it is. That's our theme song. Since the man of Galilee changed my discords into song, made life sweet the whole day long, life is a symphony. Praise the man of Galilee. No more a stranger. He is the arranger of my symphony. Praise the Lord. Even in the discords, we can make music. Even in the difficult times of our lives, we can make music. The happy times, it's easy to sing and to call our life a symphony, but it's in the discord, in the discouragement, in the depression. We still, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, must say, life is a symphony. Since the man of Galilee changed my discord into song. We have been meditating on Psalm 16:6. It's such a blessing to my heart, and we're going to stick with it, girls, until we finish it. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Remember, we talked about the lines, the fences, the demarcations, the borders of our lives. I've written all of these words that I tell you down on paper, and I'd like you to order it if you want to. Just write to Just for Women, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Just for Women, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Last time we looked at Psalm 34:4, this was my sister's verse. When my sister had a biopsy for Hodgkin's disease, of course she didn't know it was Hodgkin's, that's a form of cancer of the lymph gland. She didn't know that, and she had the biopsy. And when we came in, and she was coming out of the anesthesia, she looked at my parents and she said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." Audrey was 20 years old when she died. And so this verse became hers a few months after she was 18. She had this lump on her neck, and we didn't know what it was. And people said, "Oh, it's just glandular. This happened to me, or that happened to a friend of mine." And it was fine. And Audrey went away to visit with my uncle in Florida. And when she came back, two things were outstanding. The first was that her neck had grown so. The swelling in the lymph gland had really grown, that we barely noticed she'd cut her long hair. She had very long hair when she left and she came back, and it was rather short. Yes, we saw her short hair, and it eventually grew back. And when she died, she had beautiful long hair. But she had this cancer. Now we're talking about the lines of our lives. You and I have them. And we find that within the borders of our lives are our pleasant places. You say, "But my place isn't pleasant." And I'm not saying it's necessarily the joyful, great thing to have all these traumas in your life. But I want you to look at your life. I want you to say, "This is my life." Remember, Ralph Edwards used to have a program called "This Is Your Life." Well, we have "This Is Our Life" when we look at this verse. And we hold up this pleasant place. We say, "Yes, the bad things, that's part of my pleasant place. They are fallen unto me into pleasant places. Yes, the good things, that's my pleasant place." Now, I want to talk about 18 years of suffering. We read about this in Luke 13. That verse of scripture goes like this: "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him." Now, Jesus is looking at you. You may have an infirmity. It may not be 18 years. It may not be 8 years. It may not be 1 year. It may just be a week old. You think, "Oh, how can I endure this? I'm missing all this fun. I'm missing this. I'm missing that. And I'm in such pain." The unending days of physical trauma is something no one can understand unless they've gone through it themselves. There was a woman, this woman, in Luke 13, who was ill for 18 years. We are not told her ailment. We do not know what was wrong with her, but we do know that she was bent over so badly that she could not straighten her body aright. Perhaps she had polio as a child. I had a son who had polio as a baby, or struggled with multiple sclerosis, or Parkinson's disease, or muscular dystrophy. I know a young man who's about 26, and he's had muscular dystrophy all of his life. He's a brave young man, an intelligent young man. His trauma, his disease, has lasted far more than 18 years. Maybe this woman in Luke 13 had rheumatoid arthritis, or tuberculosis. I myself had tuberculosis of a bone as a child in my hip. I had an aunt die of tuberculosis of the lungs and an uncle. Oh, how wonderful these new drugs are. Can you imagine the agony of this woman? Think of the exhaustion in her mind and body, to say nothing of the pain, the constant pain. Think of the drain upon her family and of her children, if she had them. Maybe you or a friend of yours has been ill for 18 years. Think about that for a while. As a child, I was sick for 3 years, lying in a hospital bed. 18 years was a long time for that woman to be sick, but it was her life there in the shadow of death, her place within her pleasant places. She could not change it. No, 3 years was a long time for me to be sick. It was a long time for my parents to watch me ill and fevered, but it was and is a part of my life. Just as the 18 years of suffering was a part of this woman's life too. Oh, how precious is Psalm 23. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shadow of death is not necessarily death. It's the shadow of it. You know, sometimes it's easier to die than all the prelude to it, all the suffering, all the watching of the suffering. During those days, there is such anguish. But often the ill person brings joy to others. I've had preachers mention visiting sick people who have been sick more than 18 years in bed, lying there just waiting day by day. And I've been told by these preachers what joyful Christians those people are and how they bless the heart of the pastor. The pastor goes there to help the person, and he comes away rejoicing because of the person's testimony. Are you one of those kind of shut-ins? Could I be? Don't belittle those days of suffering that you have. Don't regret them too much, those years of heartache and pain. They made the woman of Luke 12 the woman she became. And those long years in your life will make you what God wants you to become also. Let God show you His grace in molding your life today for tomorrow. Those difficult years will chisel your life like a sculptor's knife, conforming you to the image of God's dear Son, Jesus. We read about that in Romans 8:29. Thousands have blessed him for the pain that came like a rough hand, catching them as they fell over a precipice, hurting and pinching their very flesh, but saving their lives. In how many ways a skillful doctor gives pain that he may prevent much greater and worse suffering. That's what Frances Ridley Havergal said. She wrote, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." I have a friend now, a dear friend who helped me so much with my sister Beverly, who was born retarded. And this dear girl, this dear woman, has suddenly been thrust into leukemia. And as I speak to you today, she's having bone marrow transplants in Missouri. Oh, dear Edwina, all that she's done for others, and now she is helpless, waiting for others to help her. And her brother, I've been told, is her donor. What a brave brother, if that isn't brotherly love. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, trust Him. If you do know Him, trust Him in your sickness. Let the Holy Spirit bring you to God the Father's feet in repentance and salvation for your sins' forgiveness, your eternal life, and your home in heaven that we read about in John 14. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Often illnesses are God's pruning instruments. Those who have never suffered have never been seasoned with pain. How can such miserable comforters comfort anybody in this cruel world? Try to look past the hurt of today for the blessings of the ministry tomorrow. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way and left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Topsy-turvy years. Illness, years of illness, may not be within the lines of your pleasant places. No. And that's good and bad, both. For you haven't really known what some suffering is. Infirmity and illness may not be in your life. They may be a part of the joint and marrow of someone else's life. Yet, if you were sitting right here with me, you too could tell me of your topsy-turvy years in other areas. Those people and places and events that make up the bittersweet reflection of your life. Those all things we read about in Romans 8:20. That work together for good, rolled into one ball that make up you and your life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. I must leave you now for another time, but remember, I'm under God's care. Are you?
You've been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@biblefortoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite. pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Today we want to see how when God uses a man, he chooses a woman to nurture that man. It's so good to be with you again this week. I hope God has blessed you, young women, and you grandmothers, and you children, and young girls. These are busy days. They're lazy, hazy days, aren't they? We're learning about Jochebed. What about her? Do you know who she was? She was Moses' mother, his birth mother, and a great woman of faith. She didn't teach a Bible class of women or write Sunday school lessons or have a radio broadcast like I'm doing, but she loved her children, and that's important, the most important, and was faithful, a faithful wife to her husband. And that's the very most important thing. That's what counts in the long run. We always think of Jochebed in connection with the bulrush incident, but she lived a life of watching from afar all those years. She watched a son who became famous, first in the royal palace and then as an emissary of the Lord God. She watched him lead a nation out of Egypt, following the true God in spite of the powerful Pharaoh and his armies. First, let's think about the Hebrew midwives that we read about in Exodus. You know their names, found in Exodus 1:15. What women of faith Shiprah and Puah were. The king told them to kill every baby boy. Instead, they defiled Pharaoh's law. They refused. They said, "Oh, the Hebrew women give birth very quickly before we arrive." Within the border of their lives were threatening choices. You and I have had to make such choices in our lives, haven't we? Remember, women, we're meditating on Psalm 16:6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Those lines are the fences, the borders, the demarcations of our lives. They're what makes our lives what they are. The us, where we are, where we live, who we are, who we married, our children, the circumstances of our lives, the joys, the sorrows, are all within the borders of our lives, and we call them our pleasant places. Yes. So that's what we're thinking about. We think about these women. They were good, godly midwives, and they did not kill Moses when he was born. Jochebed kept that baby boy as long as she could. She must have nursed him all day long to keep him from crying. Remember we said Jochebed was Moses' birth mother? When Moses was 3 months old, it was difficult to keep him quiet any longer. You know what that's like, don't you? Try to keep a baby quiet in church. Something had to be done. Knowing that the infant was under a sentence of death, she took a deep step step, a bold step to save her son. She decided, I believe, with her husband's permission. We read about this in Hebrews 11:23. She decided to make a little basket boat to cradle her son as it floated down and around the Nile River, caught in the bulrushes, in a safe place. She would watch God work. You and I must watch God work in many circumstances of our lives, difficult, frightening. She didn't know that her baby would be named Moses and become a leader in the land. She didn't know that he was going to upset Egypt's economy, the apple cart. She was just living in the moment of her life and saving her baby's life. For the Bible tells us that Moses was a goodly child. Only he wasn't named Moses then. I wonder what Jochebed called him. We don't know our future either. We have to raise our children today. Our times are in God's hands. We read of that in Psalm 31. We have no idea what our times are going to be like or what they're not going to be like. We have to live in the moments of today, the moments of our lives today for the Lord. Are you doing that, dear heart? We assume Miriam was the older sister of Moses who was watching him. The mother wasn't the only one watching. The only woman in the Bible that's mentioned as the sister of Moses was Miriam, so we believe she was the watching sister. Jochebed trusted his daughter. She and Amram had great faith in her. As a brave young daughter, she watched from afar. She was given a mandate from her mother to do so. She was probably very frightened when the princess came to the river to bathe. Miriam was awestruck. She'd never seen a princess before. Miriam had no idea that her baby brother would become her superior in the wilderness, nor did she know that she would criticize him so harshly out there in the wilderness to bring God's judgment upon herself with dreaded leprosy. Remember that? Her future was in God's hands, not her own. To be perfectly honest, that is true of all of us. Our future is in His hands. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in a way that he shall choose. Psalm 25:12. How Miriam loved her little brother. He grew up to be a mighty man for the Lord, but the time when she was watching baby Moses, she was living within the moment of her life, her today. She was living within the lines that were falling out to her, and she could rise up and say, my lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I don't know if Pharaoh's daughter could not have children. I don't know if she was married or not. I don't know how old she was. I don't even know if Moses was her only son. But this Coptic princess took a real stand when she chose to raise that Hebrew child. Sometimes you and I have to take a real stand. Why, her father had declared all Hebrew baby boys dead, and she raised one within the palace. It's not always easy to stand for what we believe in, for what is right, or to hold to our biblical convictions, is it? That's the way it was with Pharaoh's daughter. She had to take a stand to adopt that Hebrew baby. After all, her father wanted him to put to death. Fortunately, the princess was not able to look into the future and know that this baby that she took out of the water was going to cause trouble for her own country someday. The princess was living within her today. It was that present moment of her life that would make a part of her whole life's future pleasant places. As we reflect upon the woman and all the women in Moses' life, such pondering would be incomplete without looking at the influence of his nomad wife, Zipporah, the daughter of the priest of Midian. We read about her in Exodus 2 and in 18. She, who was accustomed to the desert life as well as the loneliness of the wilderness, was an ideal partner for one who would live in such solitude for 40 years. She comforted her husband away from the familiar life of the city and the wealth of the palace, and taught him how to live without luxuries and pomp. Though his religion was foreign to her, she yielded to circumcision for her sons. What other woman would have loved and accepted Moses as he was? What other woman would have taught her husband how to dwell as a wanderer so well that he would be able to do so for the rest of his life? Are you living in the present moment of your life to the best of your ability? Are you walking in the light of God's word and fellowshipping with others who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? We read about that in 1 John 1:5-7. If you are a born-again Christian, are you confessing your sin and being continually cleansed by the precious blood of Christ by so doing? The Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We read about that in 1 John 1:8.
Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamer answered, to the death will fall.
Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. That's what the psalmist said, and I say that with you too. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Even in our pleasant places. Remember, we're studying Psalm 16:6. We're meditating. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Oh, we are passing our heritage, our Christian heritage, on to our children, you and I, and to our grandchildren. Whether they catch it or not, I don't know. But we should live for the Lord. And we should say those lines, those demarcations, those borders that make us who we are. And they fence us in, don't they? And that's us. It's not only the place where we live, but the husband we have or the husband we don't have. It's the children we have or the children we don't have. It's the disappointments in our lives, and it's the happiness. This all makes up what God calls our pleasant places. And we should praise Him for it. I think if we would praise Him for these difficult places we are in, we would rejoice. As the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian people in that church, and I think a lot of them must have been crabbing around because he told them to rejoice so much, we would rejoice. He could say, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." I'm thinking of Elizabeth. Now, not my granddaughter Elizabeth, and not a friend of mine that I know that lives in Baltimore, a Korean girl that plays the violin beautifully, or any other Elizabeth that we know. I'm thinking of Elizabeth in the Bible. Remember who she was? I have entitled this, "The Woman Who Gave Birth in Her Old Age." Now, if you'd like to have any of these little lessons, just write me at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Just for women, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. And I'll send you this. It's not at the printers yet, but it will be. This is about a son martyred for Christ in the prime of life. We read in Luke, "Now Elizabeth, full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son." And you remember Elizabeth. She was an old woman. She wanted children all her lives. All her life, she and her husband. But lo and behold, she didn't have them until she was an old lady, and it was a miracle, really. Then I'm thinking of John the Baptist's mother. Her name was Elizabeth. Did you know that? Oh, how she wanted to have children. Finally, in an unbelievable way, in an unbelievable age, Elizabeth gave birth to a son. Look it up in Luke 1:57. To complicate matters, because of his unbelief, her husband could not talk to her during her pregnancy. Did she really comprehend that her darling longed for a little boy would be a forerunner to the Messiah? Remember, the father was supposed to name the son John, and he didn't want to. So God stopped his mouth. Would her joy, Elizabeth's joy, at her little boy's birth have been diminished had she known that her child would be beheaded because of his conviction that the king should not commit adultery with his brother's wife? The king was living with his brother's wife. Yes. Oh, it sounds like this year, doesn't it? She divorced her husband and lived with her brother-in-law. All things. Oh, you don't know anybody like that today, do you? Living in sin? When Elizabeth held that newborn babe to her breast, she didn't foresee the future. You and I can't see the future with our children either. Oh, would we have wanted that child if we had known what a rascal he would have become? Oh, would we have prayed for that baby if we'd known the heartache she would have given us? That's why God doesn't give us tomorrow. He gives us today. In Psalm 55:6 we read, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Oh, sometimes our heartaches are so great. Yes, they're so great. We just wish we could fly away, but we don't have wings like a dove. Have you ever had similar feelings as the psalmist? As you are in the midst of your living today, do you think, "Oh, if I could just get away, if I could just disappear, if I could just leave, I can't bear it anymore. My heart is sore pain within me," said the psalmist, "and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." That's Psalm 55, 4-5. Oh, have you ever had horror overwhelming you? Have you ever been fearful and trembling because of your sin? One evening in Bible study, one of our friends commented concerning these verses about flying away and my heart being pain. She said, "This verse, 'My heart is sore pain within me,' reminds me when my husband died a year ago. I had such pain, such literal pain. It was not anxiety. It wasn't anything physical. It was a pain of soul, emotion, and emptiness. And I said to myself, 'Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest.'" You know, as I say these words to you, tears come close to my eyes because I remember when her husband died. He died up there in his bed. She just heard a little noise, and she rushed to his side. She tried to save him. The medics tried to save him, but she knew in her heart of hearts he died before the ambulance came, before he ever reached the hospital and was pronounced dead. Yesterday, when I was buying cards, get well cards, I overheard a conversation. It was a young girl telling her husband about a coworker. She said this coworker's husband had a sinus infection and was all stopped up and very tired, and he went to bed and went to sleep. She thought, the wife did, that he was sleeping, but he wasn't sleeping. He died. She thought he was sleeping so firmly and so tired that she continued her work. She did her dishes. She went out and worked in the yard. And when she came in and he was still sleeping, she realized something was wrong. He had died. Oh, if she had wings, that she could fly away like the dove. Her heart was pained within her, and the terrors of death had fallen upon her. Fearfulness and trembling had come upon her, and horror overwhelmed her. Oh, dear heart, you and I someday may go in a room and find the one we love most of all, our mate dead. My mother, who was a poetess and a musician, wrote many poems poems, and I've read some to you already. I don't know how old she was, but probably around my age. I'm in my early 70s now. And she wrote this about which one. Which one? Who decides which one should go? Who is wise enough to know, should I in death precede my love? Should he leave me for realms above? Only God the choice can make, which one to leave, which one to take. But this I know, and his will I own, to take away or leave alone. It's by Gertrude Sanborn. My mother's been with the Lord for 12 years, and I miss her, and I miss my daddy, too. I miss my sister. And I had a sister just die recently, and someday I'll tell you about her. Just this last year. Which one? Which one? Beyond the sunset. Oh, blissful morning. And if you know Jesus as your Savior beyond the sunset, we will see those who are with him. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you will wake up not in heaven, but in hell. Whom I adore. His glorious presence, his words of welcome will be my portion on that fair shore. I ask you once again, will you be with Jesus when you go beyond the sunset? Or will you drop for eternity in hell? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? I'm under God's care. Are you?
You've been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.